All right, Romans and chapter 10, if you would. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, let's read the last four verses or so, beginning at verse 18, then we'll have a word of prayer. Romans 10, verse 18. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went out into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people. And by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Esaias is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the opportunity, Father, to come together in fellowship. We thank you for the services that we're able to attend here, Lord, are always a blessing. We thank you for our pastor and the ministry that he brings to us continually, Lord, and we thank you for your word. And we pray, Father, that you would teach us this morning as you always do. And we thank and praise you to your glory in our Savior's name. Amen. Romans chapter 10, I am not completely hooked up here, so I'll just do this while I'm going. I was, as we're reading through our Bible, we've been in the latter half of Isaiah. And it occurs to me as I'm reading through there that there's a lot of passages in Isaiah that Paul quotes here in this portion of Scripture in Romans 9 through 11, and particularly in chapter 10 here. So this we started out in Romans chapter 10 today, but this isn't really our passage. We're going to take the bulk of what we'll look at out of Isaiah and chapter 65, if you would turn there with me. But I wanted to get Romans 10 first, so that we wouldn't have to run back there. Isaiah chapter 65 is the passage, one of the passages that Paul just quoted to us in the verses that we read in Romans chapter 10. And what Paul's talking about there in that portion of the book of Romans is the separation of the nation of Israel and the weeding out of the unbelievers and the gathering in of the believing remnant of that nation. And as it turns out, how that tends to shake out is that the leaders and the chief priests and the rulers and the scribes and the Pharisees and all those people that we know, the people who should have been leading the nation to Christ were the ones who end up being the apostates. And it's the sinners and the publicans and those folks who end up being the ones that are gathered in. And Paul makes that point through that portion of Scripture there in the midst of the book of Romans, and his thrust there of thought is that the nation of Israel is cast off, but it's not cast off. And it is broken off there in chapter 11. The olive branches have been broken off, but he says some of them have been broken off. Some of them have been retained. And in this passage of Isaiah, if you've been reading along in your Bible, even if you haven't, that's okay. We'll look at it now. Is talking about exactly that, what Paul was telling them about. And Paul, what he's saying there in Romans chapter 10 is that they knew. Have they not known? Have they not heard? And it was told to them in their own prophets. And I'd like to just take a look at some of the passages that talk about that. We talk about the scribes and Pharisees being cast off a lot, but we don't always go through the verses in detail, and I'd like to do that with you this morning. Isaiah chapter 65. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. So that's the one of the verses that Paul quotes there in Romans chapter 10. And the Lord is telling the nation here that he's going to be, Paul says that Israel, which followed the law of righteousness, hath not obtained to the law of righteousness. Them, in other words, them that were seeking him or believed that they were seeking him, didn't find him. But them that sought me not, they have found me. And I'm found, he says here, I have found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. And then he says, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people. And Paul quotes that verse as well. Now, the prophet here says that God was found of a nation that was not called by his name. Now, if you look back up in chapter 63 at the end of the chapter, the last verse, last two verses, verse 18, the people of thy holiness have possessed it, talking about the land, but a little while our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. We are thine. Thou never bearest rule over them. They were not called by thy name. So when the passage here says, I'm found of a nation that was not called by my name, you could take the inference from that it's going to be one of these enemy nations, one of these heathen nations. Now, which nation might that be if it's not Israel? There is no other nation that was called by God's name. Now, before we move into Matthew, we'll spend some of our time there. Let's also get Deuteronomy 32. That's the other passage that Paul quoted. And I want to put these together as Paul does there in Romans chapter 10. Deuteronomy 32, and you want to match that in your mind as Paul does with Isaiah chapter 65. He says, first Moses said to them, I will provoke you to jealousy with them that are no people. And then Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found of them that sought me not. So Paul puts these two passages together. Deuteronomy chapter 32, the passage here is talking about, if you look at verse 15, but Jeshurun, and that's Israel, waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fullness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not, of the rock that begat thee. Thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. If you look over to verse 31, for their rock is not as our rock. Now Moses, what Moses is doing, he's making that same separation that we see Paul doing, that we see Isaiah doing. He's saying there's these guys over here, and there's these guys over here, and they've got a rock, and they've got a rock, and their rock is not our rock. And he's talking about other gods. If you look in verse 37, and he shall say, where are their gods, their rock, in whom they trusted? So that's the issue there. They're provoking God to jealousy with these other gods. And back up now in verse 19. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. Now, you want to notice there, I will see what their end shall be. He's talking about the latter end of the nation of Israel, and he says that they are a froward generation. And they have moved me to jealousy, verse 21, with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people, and I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. So now here we are again, just like Isaiah said, and Paul says that first Moses said it, then Isaiah said it, and they're saying the same thing. There's going to be another nation that's going to take the place, as it were, of Israel. It's going to provoke them to jealousy. They've been provoking God to jealousy with these other gods. God says, I'm going to take another nation, and I'm going to provoke you to jealousy. Now, who might that nation be? If you'll come with me to Matthew, get Matthew, I'll tell you what, let's just get these two verses to get us started. Get Matthew in chapter 23. Get Matthew 21, let's do that. Matthew 21 and Luke 12. These are the two that we look at most often, so let's go ahead and do these first. Matthew 21, Luke chapter 12. Compare these two verses, and you'll see very clearly who that nation is that is going to get the blessing from God instead of Israel. People go into Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11 and see Paul talking about salvation going to the Gentiles. And then Paul quotes these passages there and they say, well, see, that other nation is the Gentiles. Salvation was taken from Israel and given to the Gentiles. The problem is that the Gentiles are not a nation. The Gentiles are the nations. And these passages are saying that there's a nation, Moses called it a foolish nation, that's going to get the blessings from God rather than Israel. Matthew chapter 21, the Lord says, after he gives the parable of the husbandmen, he said, verse 42, Matthew 21:42, Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? We're talking about the rock, right? Their rock is not our rock. So the rock comes and they reject him. The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you. Now, who's he talking to? Look back in verse 23. And when he was come into the temple, Jesus, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, and they said, by what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? And then as you go down through the passages, these people that he's talking to, the chief priests, the elders, the rulers of the people, he says again in verse 43, therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. So there it is again. The Lord says, now this is the fourth time we've seen this now, that the kingdom of God is going to be taken from the rulers, the chief priests of Israel, and given to another nation. A nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. You remember what John the Baptist said when he first came. He said, he looked at those same people, those chief priests and scribes and Pharisees, when they came to his baptism. And John looked at them and he said, you generation of vipers, that froward generation that Moses talked about, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And he says, bring forth fruits meet for repentance, because the axe is laid to the root of the tree, and every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So Jesus comes, 3 years he's ministering to them, they're not bearing any fruit. So he says to them, the kingdom of God is going to be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. The fruit that John the Baptist came looking for, that Jesus came looking for, that the husbandmen in that parable came looking for, and they were not bearing that fruit. So that axe that's laid to the root of the trees is going to be laid into the root of the trees coming up pretty quick. So Luke chapter 12. Okay, so the kingdom is going to be taken from them, the rulers of Israel, and given to another nation. Luke chapter 12, verse 31. Jesus now is speaking to his disciples. And he says in verse 31, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." So who he Matthew 23, he says the kingdom of God is going to be taken from the rulers and the chief priests and the scribes. And here in Luke chapter 12, he tells you who it's going to be given to. Now in Matthew, he calls these that recipient of the kingdom a nation. Here he says that to that remnant of believers, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." So that's who's getting the kingdom. And that little flock of believers, come back to Isaiah 65. We're going to be coming back here, so if you want to put something in there for yourself. Isaiah 65 again. And what you end up with is you've got a nation from within a nation. And the nation as a whole is apostate. And Isaiah starts out his book saying they're full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores from the sole of the foot to the crown of the head. There is no soundness in them and so forth. The nation is just, they're that froward generation, those disobedient children, that apostate nation. But within that cluster, and we're going to see that here in Isaiah 65, there is that fruit is there, and what the Lord is doing, what you see happening through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what's really going on there is that the Lord Jesus Christ is dividing the wheat from the chaff. That's what the ministry of Christ is primarily about before the cross. Is separating out, dividing out, taking out the dross, and looking for that pure gold. He's purifying that nation. Isaiah chapter 65. Let's read on. We stopped in verse 2. Let's look at verse 3 and forward. "A people that provoketh me to anger continually." Now, what does that sound like? Well, that's back in Deuteronomy 32. See, that's why these two passages come together. This whole thing, as you go through here, you see the connection between the two. They provoke me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things in their vessels, which say, 'Stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou.'" If you ever wonder where that phrase comes from, that's it right there. And that's talking about these guys, these chief priests and Pharisees, not just the rulers of Israel, but the rulers of Israel in that forward generation that Isaiah is talking about here, that the Lord Jesus Christ came into. "These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day." He says, all the day I have reached forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. And all the day they're just a smoke in the nostrils of God. "Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, I will recompense, even recompense into their bosom." That verse 6 right there, that is your cue to do exactly what Paul did, to go back and say, well, where is that written before? And he found Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32 is the passage that says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will recompense." And that's what he's saying here. So Isaiah says, behold, it's written before me. That is telling you to go and look to find where that's written. The Bible gives you its own cross-references. I tell you that time and time and again. And I will not keep silence. I will recompense, even recompense into their bosom. Your iniquities and the iniquity of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills. Therefore I will measure their former work into their bosom. You remember Luke chapter 11. We won't go there. But the Lord said that all the blood from Abel to Zechariah is going to be required of this generation. That's what Isaiah is talking about here. The iniquity of your fathers is going to be laid on you. And all the Luke 11:50-51 in there. And he says, I will measure the former work into their bosom. Thus saith the Lord, now in verse 8. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine, we're in Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 8, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servants' sake, that I may not destroy them all. See, that's the idea there. You've got these rotten grapes. Here, hold your hand here and come back to our passage in Deuteronomy 32. Watch Moses say it. Deuteronomy 32. Again. You ever pull a head of lettuce out of the fridge and the outer leaves are wilted and brown? What do you do with that head of lettuce? Do you throw it in the garbage? No, you don't, do you? What do you do? That's right. You look at it and you go, well, there might be something good underneath here. So you take and you start peeling away those wilted and useless leaves until you get to what's hopefully the remnant of that head of lettuce inside there that's still good, right? So then you take the remnant that's good and you use it, and what do you do with the rest? Put it in the garbage, right? Well, that's what's happening here. Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, he talks about the beginning of revenges in verse 42. That's those beginning of sorrows that the Lord talked about. In Matthew chapter 24, and I'll find what I'm looking for in just a minute. Verse 32, we read their rock is not our rock in verse 31. Verse 32, for their vine is as the vine of Sodom, and the fields of Gomorrah, their grapes are grapes of gall, their clusters are bitter, their wine is the poison of dragons, and cruel venom of asps. See, that's that cluster, that's that wine cluster that Isaiah is talking about back in chapter 65 again, Isaiah chapter 65. So Moses, he describes that cluster of grapes there, and he says it's not good. But Isaiah says that inside of that rotten cluster, there is a blessing. Isaiah 65, verse 8 again. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servants' sake, that I may not destroy them all. And that's exactly what Paul brings out in Romans 9, 10, and 11, where we started. Read on. Verse 9, and I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. So that's what we see happening, is that nation that the prophets talked about, that the Lord talked about, that's apart from Israel, in fact is Israel. But it's a nation taken out of that nation proper. And the leaders, the representatives of the nation itself, end up in the same place with those wilted leaves of lettuce. You know, you take the chaff and throw it to the wind, you gather the wheat into the garner. That's what's happening here. The passage here goes on, and it says, verse 11, it says, "But ye are they," talking to the nation itself, the nation proper, "are they that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, and furnish drink offerings unto that number. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer, and when I spake, you did not hear." What did the Lord say? We're like children dancing in the marketplace, and you won't respond. We mourned to you, and you didn't weep. We called to you, and you didn't come. "But you did evil before mine eyes, and did choose wherein I delighted not. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty." Now he's talking to the nation of Israel, and he's making a distinction between his servants and them. "You shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit." So the separation there is being prophesied. We were told, Paul says, first by Moses, and then Isaiah is very bold and comes out and says all of this very plainly, and there's this foolish people who come out of the nation of Israel to provoke them to jealousy. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Watch Peter address these folks. 1 Peter in chapter 2. You and I know what the Apostle Paul does with the Scriptures. He uses the Scriptures of the prophets the way that he instructs us to use them. That is, according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Romans chapter 16. That's how we use the Scriptures of the prophets. That's how Paul uses them. So when he takes these Scriptures out, He gives them to us doctrinally first, as he does there in Romans chapter 10. And he says, the nation of Israel is being separated. The Lord says, don't think that I came to bring peace. I came to bring a sword and to divide a house from itself, and the father from the son, and the mother-in-law from the daughter-in-law. And that's what's happening there. It's a ministry of division. But then Paul goes on and he takes and he applies those Scriptures to his ministry and those who were not called the people and so forth, and starts talking about the Gentiles and that he's the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my office to provoke Israel to jealousy. See, he takes these Scriptures and he applies them to his ministry. But he gives us the doctrine of them first, because they were not talking about the Gentiles when they were written. And Paul, he uses them both ways. 1 Peter chapter 2. Now Peter takes these passages and applies them to the people that they applied to, because that's the people that he ministered to. He says in verse 5, 1 Peter 2, verse 5, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Verse 9. "But ye are a chosen generation," and that's in opposition to that froward generation that Moses talked about, "a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." See, there's that nation. There's that blessing in the cluster. There's that people who are not a people. Look, read on. peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God. Now, Peter's talking to Jews here, and he's taking that passage out of Hosea chapter 2, and we don't have time to go and look at it, but the passage in Hosea 2 that says, you are not a people, is talking to Israel, and saying, you are not my people, but you will be. And in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there they will be called the children of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. All of that is out of Hosea chapter 1 and 2 there, talking to the nation of Israel. So are they a people or are they not a people? Paul says, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. But then he goes on to say, if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the reason? So they're cast away, but they're not cast away? Well, what's going on with that? Well, this is what's going on with that. The nation of Israel is cast away, but there's that remnant and that new nation that's born out of the nation proper. Come to look at Matthew chapter 23. Get Matthew 23 and, we can get Matthew 23 and Matthew 16. We don't have to go too far for the second passage. Matthew 23. Matthew chapter 23, we know the Lord just lays into these guys, these scribes and Pharisees, and just gives them a string of woe unto you, woe unto you, woe unto you. And he starts out that rant, if you will, that showing the anger of God against these people, in verse 13, saying, Matthew 23, verse 13, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. So these guys who think they've got, you know, their finger on the pulse of God, as it were, he says, you're shutting up the kingdom. You're not going in yourself, and the people who are trying to get in, you're blocking the way. And he goes on with that whole string, verse 15, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Verse 16, woe unto you. On down, you know, woe unto you, you fools. Verse 23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And he just goes on like that and just lays into them because they are not doing what they were called to do. And that is to lead the nation of Israel into that kingdom, to open up that kingdom for them. Now come back to chapter 16. They shut up the kingdom of heaven to themselves and to them that are going. In Luke, he says, you take away the key of knowledge so that they that are trying to enter can't enter. So these guys have the keys of the kingdom, and they're not using them. They're not opening the door. What that comes down to is they're not preaching the truth. They're preaching for commandments the doctrines of men. So what does the Lord do? Matthew chapter 16. His disciples again. Verse 13. Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi and asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the other prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? So now we're making that distinction again. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So here we are again. The Lord, the scribes and Pharisees, the rulers have the keys to the kingdom, and they're not using them. So the Lord takes the keys. He takes away the keys. You have teenage kids? I bet you've taken away some keys if you do. He takes away the keys, and He gives them to that little flock. And that kingdom is being taken from that nation, and it's given to a nation who will bring forth the fruits thereof. So He says to Peter, I'm giving unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Come back to Isaiah. Get chapter 26 this time. Isaiah 26. See, we come here early to get limbered up, right? We look at least 50 passages or so a day, and then that way, you know, we're all ready. I'm loosening them up for you, Pastor. Isaiah 26. Verse 2. Open ye the gates. How do you open a gate? With a key. That who? The righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. See, there it is. That righteous nation, they've got the keys. They're the ones who open the gates. What did the Lord just say to Peter? Thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So you've got two kingdoms working here. And the Lord's already told those scribes and Pharisees that you're working on the other side, and you're of your father the devil. And this righteous nation, He takes the keys, that is the right and the truth of the kingdom, and He puts that in their hand. And He says, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, and whatever you bind on earth is going to be bound in heaven. They're the ones who have charge of the gates. That's why every joke that you ever hear where somebody dies and goes to heaven, who's standing there at the pearly gates? It's Peter, right? Well, because he's got the keys. Well, that's, you know, entirely misunderstanding what this is talking about, but that's where it comes from. He opens the gate. Open the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Now that rock, by the way, we won't go and look at it. You remember earlier in Matthew, the Lord said, if someone hears my words and obeys them, I'll liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And when the rains descended and the floods came and the wind blew and beat against that house, it withstood it. See, the gates of hell shall not prevail against that house. But the foolish man builds his house on sand. I won't go into the sand, but the Lord told Abraham, your seed is going to be like the sand of the seashore. And if you think it's all about being an Israelite, those floods are going to come and that wind is going to blow and that house is going to fall, and great is going to be the fall of it. And that house indeed did fall. The Apostle Paul tells us all about it. The fall of them were the riches of you and me, according to God's grace. Now come with me to get Ezekiel chapter 34, and I want to look at that passage there. Ezekiel chapter 34. I say that to you because you know and I know that some people look at that passage and say, thou art Peter. Peter means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church. And they say, see, the church is built on Peter. But the church is not built on Peter. The church is built, what did the Lord say? If you hear my words and obey them. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the rock. That's the foundation that church was built on, the confession of the Messiahship and the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He was the Christ, the Son of God. Ezekiel chapter 34. Now, Ezekiel chapter 34 talks all about these guys that we're looking at, both classes. Let's just go down through this. Ezekiel chapter 34. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. What did the Lord say? Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That little flock had some shepherds. And again, those shepherds were not doing their job. Prophesy, so we're going to prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel. What does that sound like? We just heard that, didn't we? Matthew 23. That do feed themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty you have ruled them. So when the Lord comes and he finds this woeful condition, he calls out his disciples and he tells them to go out and to go not into the way of the Gentiles, nor into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go ye rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go out and gather those lost sheep, because these guys aren't doing it. See, the Lord, when he came, what he should have been able to do was gather all the elders of Israel together and say, okay, guys, the program is on, let's go. And they should have said, all right, Lord, let's go. They were the ones who should have been doing this, but they weren't. So when the Lord came, he had to come. What does he say? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Why? Because the shepherds weren't seeking it. Look again at the end of verse 4 there. Neither have you sought that which was lost. So the Lord sends his disciples to do that, and he says that he himself was not come save unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And they were scattered, verse 5, because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves, and they fed not the flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. You're fired, is what he's telling them. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. See, that's what the Lord came to do. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among the sheep, and they are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered, in the cloudy and dark day. We're going into the tribulation now at this point. And I'll bring them out from the people and gather them. See, I'll bring them out from the people, gather them from the countries, bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers, and in the inhabited places of the country. Now we're moving into the kingdom. Verse 16. I will seek that which was lost. That's the Lord. Verse 17. As for you, O my flock. So now he's talking to the shepherds up until now. Now as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you? to have eaten up the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk the deep waters, that you must foul the residue thereof with your feet. As for my flock, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which you have fouled with your feet. So he says these shepherds have made the thing foul, and then they feed it to the sheep. They pervert the word, and then they try to get the sheep to eat of that. And in case you're wondering, at the very end of the passage there, take a look at those last two verses. Thus shall they know, saith the Lord, that their God, that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord. And ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. So in case you're wondering what he's talking about and who he's talking to, there it is. Now, let's close this up. Look at get Acts chapter 2. So what you've got happening through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and a primary function of the Lord's ministry there is this separation between the shepherds and the sheep, and the rulers and the people, the apostates and the believing remnant. And there's this dividing, and taking the keys from the one and giving it to the other, taking the authority of the kingdom from the one and giving it to the other. And in Acts chapter 2, that's, and we'll close it up here, that's exactly what you see Peter calling them to. Here in Acts chapter 2, he preaches to that crowd gathered there, all Jews, Israelites. And verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? He just told them, you crucified your Messiah, and he's alive again, and that's not good for you. So they said, well, what should we do about that? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. That's that froward generation that Moses talked about there in Deuteronomy chapter 34. So that's what Peter is calling these people out from. He's saying, save yourself from the nation of Israel. Save yourself from this untoward generation. What did the Lord say? All the blood from Abel to Zechariah will be required of this generation. So Peter comes, when the Holy Ghost comes on them, he comes preaching, saying, get out of that generation. Get out from among them. Come out and be separate. And separate yourselves, because the wrath of God is about to fall on that nation. And you don't want to be a part of it when that comes. So, are you going to be a part of the rotten cluster? Or are you going to be a part of that blessing that's inside? That's the issue that you see happening there. And we've been reading through those passages there in the latter half of Isaiah, and that whole portion of Scripture there that you've been reading, if you've been reading along in your Bible, daily Bible reading, is just replete with these mentions and these passages. And you see, too, that throughout that portion of the book, there's passage after passage after passage that Paul quotes in his epistles when talking about these things. So he pulls these passages out for us to show us exactly what we're looking at here and to tell us what is the state of Israel, past, present, and future, and that's how it's working. Is there a question?
Yeah.
Statement? Comment?
The Samaritan.
Samaritans, yeah.
Okay, now they were, he said, go not to the Samaritans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
Is it because of their unbelief? Is it because of were they one of the tribes of the northern?
The nation of Israel proper needs to be converted first. Then you go. It goes Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. That's the order. So the reason that the Lord went to the Samaritan woman there in John chapter 4. So it's not that they couldn't receive the word being Samaritans. It's that the Lord had an order that needed to be followed, and they needed to start at the hub and work their way out. At Samaria, they were, well, yeah, people call them half-breeds. It was a mix. Samaria was the capital of the northern tribes when the 10 tribes went out and they apostatized up there and mixed with the Gentiles and that kind of thing. But so did the southern two tribes eventually too. So it's hard to make that distinction. But that's, yes, they're, I guess they're half-breeds is probably the easiest, simplest way to say it.
When Jews mix with Gentiles, are they still considered Jews or are they considered Gentiles?
It's a good question. See, that's why they were not supposed to do it. Okay. Yeah. It's a good question, because you certainly got plenty of that, you know.
Like Germany, Russia,
yep.
And they're what is called Ashkenaz Jews,
mm-hmm.
Which means they're 50-50.
Not right. Not pure.
This country, are they Gentiles or Jews?
How's it gonna work in the end? Yeah, the Lord will have to sort all of it out.
Amen.
Well, I think that probably in the end, what it's going to come down to is he is not a Jew that is one outwardly, but yeah. but one inwardly. You know, yeah.
But the gospel of Christ, that changes everything. Because a Jew and Gentile, no
today it doesn't matter, right?
It doesn't
right,
matter.
Right.
Through faith,
right.
It matter.
Yeah, there is. You're neither today, neither Jew nor Gentile. All right,
thanks, Dave.
We're good.